You're listening to the Modern Web Podcast. For more podcasts, videos, and events, find us online at modern-web.org or follow us on Twitter at modern.web. That's modern.web. This podcast is sponsored by this.labs, a framework agnostic consultancy that specializes in JavaScript. You can find them at this.co/labs. That's this.co/labs. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Modern Web. Very excited today to talk about something that everyone is talking about in the world, which is blockchain-related things. So we have four amazing guests today on this podcast. We're going to talk about a lot of amazing things, but first off, let me go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at LadyLeet. I'm a Google developer expert, a co-founder of a company called this.labs, and one of your hosts for the Modern Web Podcast. Preethi is the co-founder and CEO of True Story. We have Preethi. We also have Kyle, who is an evangelist for the open web, does a lot of amazing things, is going to be head of curriculum at Hatch, which is an online school that's going to teach crypto developers. Fred is a senior UI engineer at Ripple. And we have Nick as well, who is the co-founder and CTO of OneHub. And they actually have a mobile app, and all their financials are handled with blockchain smart contracts. So I'd love for everybody to maybe go around and, you know, expand on the stuff I talked about, and then we can hop into the conversation. But maybe, like, what's exciting you these days about blockchain?
All right, I'll jump in. Hi, everyone that's listening in or watching the video later. As Tracy mentioned, my name's Kyle Simpson. A lot of people know me online as Getify, so you can follow me there on GitHub, Twitter, other places like that. So I am real big into the JavaScript space and have been for a long time, and was kind of a little hands-off on the blockchain stuff for quite a while until last fall when I had one of those light bulb sorts of moments, realizing that it was going to address some specific pain points that I had around a startup I'm building. So I got real interested and started learning it. And I realized very quickly that the best way for me to learn it was to build it myself. So as Tracy mentioned, I have been building a blockchain as well as the associated applications for the ecosystem, kind of the minimum viable product that people to launch, hoping that happens sometime maybe later this summer or something like that. In addition, I'm also serving as head of curriculum for Hatch, which is an online school to teach software developers, mainly web developers, how to get into the blockchain crypto space and then help them get placed in jobs. So if you're at all interested in that angle, check out Hatch Crypto's website, hatchcrypto.io, and sign up for more information there.
Cool. Thank you so much. Maybe Nick next.
Sure. My name is Nick Kalyani. I'm the CTO and co-founder of OneHub. So our startup has an app called Interface, which allows consumers to video chat with experts. And it's really more like a long tail model, where if you want to know something about gardening, you know, you talk to an expert on gardening, or if you want to know about hypnosis or anything like that. So previously, you know, my expertise has primarily been doing web application development. I was the co-founder of an open source project called .NET Nuke, which has turned out to be one of the larger open source projects on the Microsoft stack. I wanted to see what this transition from JavaScript programming to smart contract programming was like, and I'm interested to discuss that today. So if you want to learn more about Interface, it's interface.wenhub.com. You can go download the app and get some free tokens. It's been a fun ride as an entrepreneur, especially one of my co-founders happens to be Scott Adams, the creator of the Dilbert comic strip. So it's interesting, you know, seeing how things evolve with his PR, et cetera. So glad to be here.
Exciting and Preethi.
Yeah, so for me, my interest, I kind of have a background in different facets of finance. So I was in venture capital, I was a banker, I was an engineer. And for me, I think what really drew me to blockchain about 4 years ago was when I was at A16Z. And I remember I just like when I read the Bitcoin paper and just started to learn about it, I think it forced me to question a lot of the things that were that we currently believe in, like why do we believe in money and how does money work? Why do the current financial systems work the way they do? How are people incentivized to work in these financial systems? Is there a better way? Like these are all the types of questions I kept asking when I kept reading a lot of these papers. And I think the reason I love this space so much is anyone can come in and kind of rethink systems from ground up and use code and like basically build a movement around them in terms of how to do things better. And that really excites me.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And Fred?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm a senior UI engineer at Ripple. And blockchain to me has always been, you know, super interesting, but always kind of further away from what I've been doing in my career. So I always felt like I was from the outside looking in, trying to understand it, but never really feeling confident enough to get my hands dirty with it. I've also been a bit of a skeptic in the past of the kind of technology. So when I found Ripple, it took a while to really understand the vision and why it wasn't, you know, just another one of those coins, one of those scams. But since then, I've just gotten really excited about what we're trying to do, trying to make money move around the world faster, cheaper for families, for companies. So it's a really cool mission. Excited to be a part of it, and excited to be contributing to this whole space as just a JavaScript engineer.
Yeah, that makes me so. Your introduction is so heartfelt. So my next question for everybody was actually going to be, why should we care? But I think Fred, you answered that question very well. But you know, I think maybe just starting to get. I think everybody is excited about blockchain in general, and you know, why should we care? Terminology. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts around all this? There's so much to learn in this space.
Yeah, it's been really exciting for me. I mean, I don't want to talk the whole time about Ripple. I think there's a ton of really exciting stuff in the whole space. But one thing I really enjoy seeing is how different companies are, or how different coins or companies behind them are trying to use the technology to do things that either exist today but very incompletely, or just aren't really well supported, or they're slow, or they're fast, or they're expensive rather. So a lot of the international payment stuff that we're working on is, you know, it's a system that was built in the 70s. Built on Swift, what banks and Western Union and all these different companies have to do is bundle all these payments together, and they have to hold money overseas so that they can make it maybe move a little faster internally. So there's all these things that are already going on today, just in a really either slow or expensive way, that keeps out smaller players or entrepreneurs or smaller companies just because it's so expensive. So I'm excited to see all these barriers lowered in terms of what is possible. Not being built by big companies, but being built on these smaller, just what happens when the barriers go down and what's possible. So that really excites me in terms of where this industry is going and how it could fit into the industry as it exists today. There's some cool stuff in terms of, well, what's new? But I think both sides of that coin, you know, improving what exists and then the whole new green pastures are both very exciting.
Yeah, Preethi, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot. I think Preethi and Kyle both, but maybe posing the question first to Preethi, what do you tell people when they just even look at it or try to get started? I mean, what are you currently seeing in the market?
What is the question? Like in terms of getting started with the blockchain?
Well, more like, you know, I'm sure people are like, why are you doing blockchain? Like,
yeah. I mean, for me, there's a huge philosophical thing to it as well. Like I said, I think over the last like 200 years, like we've kind of built up these centralized systems that are layered upon each other and have massive inefficiencies over time. And it's like what I think not just the blockchain, but like what I think this movement does is like kind of unbundle that and really think about how to make more of it. And so that I think like my background is in systems engineering, and I really like to like almost think of things from a much higher level and understand how different parts of a system work. And I think like overall, one of the biggest problems in society today is like incentives are just like so misaligned. And I think one of the beauties of blockchain and crypto is like people are trying to realign incentives, remove intermediaries, and make things just more efficient. And so that's what gets me excited. And like, that's much more of a bird's eye view of what excites me. And then day to day, it's like personally, I think like if we can figure out a better way of doing any single application, I think like any developer can go and figure that out and build it and test it. And it's a very open, like permissionless, like totally, like it's not like a closed system where you have to have a certain pedigree or a certain background or certain expertise to come in. Like you can literally just come and teach yourself everything and make a difference. And like I don't have a degree in blockchain engineering, and it was just like me. I like got up one day and like read all the source code for various implementations and just taught it myself, and now can like code stuff. And so I think it's that's really cool from a developer perspective. Or even if you're not a developer, like an economist or a lawyer, like if you think that you can contribute to the system in any way, like you don't need this like past built up knowledge, because what we're really doing is thinking up things from ground up.
That's amazing. And Kyle, I know you all also probably get asked this a lot, like, why are you involved? Why should people get involved? Maybe like answering that and just sort of where some people get hung up.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my position as a teacher, I like to tell people that about half of my job as a teacher is actually as an evangelist, to convince people that the other 50% of the time that I'm going to spend teaching them is worth it. And so I've done that moderately well with JavaScript, but in my new interest in blockchain, I'm getting a lot of those sorts of questions. I'm already getting companies saying, hey, we think we'd like to have you come teach a workshop. I'm like, I'm, you know, 2 months into this. How could you possibly? But it is, there is so much of that hype excitement around it that it's not at all surprising. The problem with that curve is that you get, for example, a coffee or tea company that overnight changes on the, you know, their business model from coffee and tea to being a cryptocurrency. And, you know, that was a famous story of that company that's publicly traded that did that overnight, and their stock price went up by 30% or something. So you see stuff like that and you're like, I don't want any part of that. That's total just fluff, right? There's no benefit. And I think a lot of people are interested at the same level as they are skeptical. There's an equal amount, and they're just waiting for some kind of thing to tip the scales in one way or the other. They can look at it and see, yes, I'm very interested in this particular kind of technology, but I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to make anything useful out of it. And the problem that we have is that a lot of people are kind of looking at this as a, it's only the cryptocurrency. It's only the cryptocurrency is the only use case that matters. And that's obviously where a lot of the money is being driven. But I think there's a lot more besides cryptocurrency. So I think one of the biggest misconceptions that we can sort of lower for people that are listening in is that a blockchain is a way to store any piece of data out in a public fashion. We call them sort of a public database or a public ledger. One of those pieces of data could be your bank account balance, which is what the cryptocurrency use case is kind of headed towards. But there's so many other pieces of data that can be stored there. My favorite example of this is actually very counterintuitive, because we think of, for example, a piece of data like our medical records. And we would say, I would never put my medical records on a blockchain. This is all very private, intensely personal sorts of information, and I wouldn't want to make that public at all. And my response is actually putting, for example, your medical records out on a blockchain is a really interesting and compelling use case, where the trade-off is that you can put it all public, completely unencrypted, as long as it's anonymous. If you're the only person in the universe that can prove that these 15 records out there are yours, now all of a sudden you have all of these properties of public ledgers given to that really important data, like your health data, that nobody but you owns the rights to access that or to decide which record goes out there or not. It's not even your doctor that makes that decision anymore, it's you. And so that is kind of a mind expanding thing when we start to realize there is substance to the idea of decentralization. That's not just a hype bandwagon word. The idea that, like as Fred said, that we're putting that power back into our hands. whether that is your money, whether it is your medical records, whether it's your passwords to log into websites, whatever data it is that you have, instead of letting other people own and control that, we're creating systems where we get to own and control that.
That's actually amazing. I've never thought about that. Just the idea that, like, it's not just you need to buy this hardware wallet and you need to write down these 15 codes that you can never put on a computer to protect your money. But, like, at the same time, you know, this can apply to anything that you care about. So really cool. Nick, I know that you, you know, you're a JavaScript developer and you just like got involved and started, you know, started writing blockchain. I don't know. Is it called blockchain code, everyone? Or
you can call it that. Yeah, it's a decentralized application. Yeah.
Right. But maybe like, I mean, you know, maybe kicking off and just starting the conversation on like, why should JavaScript developers even get involved?
Sure. So I think before that, we need to take a step back and make sure that your audience understands the distinction between when we say blockchain, cryptocurrency, decentralized apps. You know, I mean, the fact is that the blockchain is the underlying layer, and cryptocurrency and decentralized applications are things you build on top of it. So I specifically want to talk about decentralized applications from the perspective of a JavaScript developer. So when I got into it, we wanted to build smart contracts for the Ethereum blockchain. So there's a bunch of blockchains out there, the two biggest ones being the Bitcoin and the Ethereum one. So the Ethereum blockchain has this concept of an EVM, an Ethereum virtual machine. And so you can literally build applications called decentralized apps, or dApps for short, on them. And there's various languages you can use to craft those, but Solidity is a popular language. And the nice thing for JavaScript developers is that Solidity is very close to JavaScript. So if you're trying to sort of make the leap from JavaScript to creating your first decentralized app, then there's a nice tool set out there called, it's a framework called Truffle. So Truffle makes it really easy for JavaScript developers to start off, sort of dive into creating smart contracts using Solidity. It also has some supporting tools called Ganache and Rizzle, taking the whole dessert metaphor. I don't know how long they're going to keep going with that. But Truffle is really, really good because it essentially allows you to, in maybe an afternoon, crank out your first smart contract, where all you have to do is be aware of some of the nuances of the language differences between Solidity and JavaScript. But there are not too many, and once you get started with it, you'll get the hang of it. But that's just really the first hurdle. The next hurdle you get into, beyond, you know, getting the tool sets and all that, is to really change your mental model of how programs are built. Because as JavaScript developers, as web developers, we are used to a certain mental model of client, server, et cetera. And you'll find out very quickly that that has to change. For one of the main reasons is that with a client server model, you have this notion where you make a request and you get a response. Well, in the world of blockchain, that response could be anything from 15 seconds to 5 minutes to 30 minutes later. So how do you deal with that? How do you handle UI? How do you handle things like that? You also have to start becoming more cognizant of sort of what you're putting on the blockchain, because it's essentially the world's slowest, crappiest database, you know, and you have to start adjusting your model, in mental model, in terms of what do you actually store in the blockchain, what do you store off, et cetera. So those are some of the kinds of things that JavaScript developers have to grapple with. But there's plenty of code out there, and there's plenty of frameworks out there to really help you. But I personally like Truffle.
Any additional thoughts from everybody about?
Yeah, I love the idea of how this could change how web applications or applications in general are built. You know, there's this idea which I haven't seen talked about too much, but I could see it becoming more of a, maybe it's not there yet, but I don't know if anyone's seen Altered Carbon, that show on Netflix. Super mm-hmm. interesting, definitely recommend yeah. it. It's this future sci-fi show. And there's this concept that they introduce of a AI hotel, which is a hotel that is basically self-sustaining. It's run by an AI, you go and check in. And the less popular ones have basically gone into hibernation because they can't, there's no money coming in from guests. So there's no one to really, you know, it's this concept of a hotel as a system, as a machine. And you see all these different companies and startups coming out that are like, oh, two brothers decided to change the blank industry, and it's sunglasses, underwear, hats, you know, it's anything. And you got to wonder how many, like, what happens when that concept could apply to sites or to even businesses, where a blockchain and a ledger that is all programmatic allows a piece of technology to have its own bank account, and a website or a company that could pay out to hosting providers, to SEO, to Facebook ads, to suppliers. At what point can the actual site start running itself, or the actual company even start running itself? I think a big blocker is that there's always been a person who has to navigate the financial aspect of that, setting up their Stripe account, setting up their AdWords, their Facebook ads, their talking to suppliers. But you know, so many of these companies, you only interact with them through the copy and the ads, and then also they send you something in the mail. You could totally see that becoming even more and more automated, up to the point where the finances of that company are totally self-sustaining, and you can just have something that automatically generates companies, seeds it with $100 and a template, buy some ads. If no one buys in, okay, it goes into hibernation. It stops operating. If it takes off, you know, the razor company just takes off like that, you know, then you could see you doubling down, maybe as a market research tool, maybe as something more. So I don't know if we're there yet, but the idea of finance being programmatic and programmable is really fascinating to me.
One of the things that, one of the characteristics of a blockchain system that is, it goes under like a hype word and doesn't get often talked about in terms of substance. But one of the ideas, it actually kind of harkens back to like 10 years ago on the web, 10, 15 years ago, when everybody thought that the new version of the web 2.0, was just going to be us creating these different embeddable components that all sat on our website, and they all had these public APIs, and JavaScript could make cross-domain AJAX calls to all these different components, and we'd build every single app as this conglomeration of all these different AJAX requests. And that kind of worked for a while and then sort of died off a little bit. We've kind of, I think, migrated a little bit back more to my system owning the stuff that's being served. But it's almost like we're getting a revolution of that, because when we use the term trustless, that's not really actually a great moniker for what's happening in blockchain. It's not that there isn't trust. It is that we're creating a mechanism in between two or more entities that otherwise would not trust each other. Imagine two banks that would have entirely no reason to trust each other, but we can create an entity between them and base that system on math, which we can all agree works. We know 1 + 1 = 2. If we can create a system almost like a DMZ in between two or more parties that don't agree, it actually totally changes the way we might start thinking about structuring our apps. Like was said, you know, there's data that we would normally think, oh, I just got to store this in my own little private encrypted database. But now there's value and benefit to me putting that out into this public DMZ sort of database where other people could benefit from it. But I benefit from the fact that it's there and that they're using it, that sort of thing. So that really is going to totally change the way we architect the data of our applications, is to this idea that we can very easily create those DMZs where other people can collaborate with us.
Yeah, this is definitely, it's amazing because, you know, I came into this podcast not really knowing a lot about blockchain, cryptocurrency, right? This is all very new stuff to people. And, you know, you have to sort of pick and choose your technologies. But as I hear you all talking, it really gets me excited and interested in, like, wow, you know, how is this going to actually change how just general developers code, like, you know, the considerations that we put out there, right? We had a few questions from the audience as well. I actually think one of the things that people really care about is this whole idea around consensus models. And Kyle, I know that you're excited about this, and I know that everybody probably goes in the space. So who wants to kick it off and just sort of talk about some stuff around this? Such an open.
Yeah, I can talk. Consensus is basically the crux of what I find it fascinating. Basically, consensus means you're allowing a group of people to agree on a value and move forward with the current state of the system. And how we agree on that value can vary. And so in Bitcoin, we use proof of work to agree on what the right value is. In Ethereum, we use something called proof of stake. we use proof of work right now, but they're switching over to a model called proof of stake. And the idea is we could all collectively as a group do some kind of operation or voting or some other thing, and based on the outcome of that, determine what is the canonical truth, based on what the majority of the people agree is the truth. And the reason consensus is important is because, unlike centralized systems where there is someone, some authority to say, this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing, we don't have a central authority in a lot of these decentralized applications. The whole point of a decentralized application is like you don't have that authority. So if you don't have that authority, how do we determine the truth? And that's the basic of consensus. And we can get into much more technical details, and that would take like a long time. But the reason I think it's fascinating is because sometimes you can kind of break that truth into something that's much more mathematically definable or like mathematically provable. But other times you have to use game theory and mechanism design to understand how like various human behavior and actually predict, be able to design a system. You want some output, so you have to design a system from there on to see like how you can align incentives amongst those people to figure out how to get to that outcome. And that is an area I'm completely like right now heads deep in, because it's something that my startup also uses. Like mechanism design is a huge part of what I'm building in agreeing to what the truth is. And it's fascinating because there's different degrees of it. Some ways, like I said, some ways of determining the truth are mathematically provable. Some are just like game theory and finding the best way to make sure that people don't cheat. And if they do cheat, is there a way to attribute their faults and punish them so that they get punished for cheating? So it's like this kind of area is ginormous. And frankly, I think there's very little research and like formal knowledge around blockchain consensus per se. There's various consensus knowledge for distributed systems from very academic settings, but consensus for blockchains have been less studied. So it's kind of like a lot of the people that are becoming experts in the space are just self-taught and figuring out how to build new and better consensus systems. So consensus systems that have never existed before, which is fascinating to me.
One of the characteristics of consensus that, and I'm similar to Preethi, find it really fascinating. It's where a lot of my thought process these days is on. One of the things that's interesting about consensus is that in the real world, when we have an organization that governs itself through consensus, like a committee that's going to vote on something, TC39, the body that governs JavaScript, is a good example of this. They are consensus driven. I'm not sure everybody listening even entirely knows what consensus means. It's not unanimity. It's not that every single member of the board 100% agrees with every single decision. Consensus is, first off, the simple majority, generally 50% plus one, plus the fact that the other 49% do not feel strongly enough against a decision to exercise essentially a veto vote. So everyone gets the ability to vote, and everyone gets the ability to feel strongly enough about something that they could say, I will not agree to this, and therefore we do not have consensus on it. But there's a lot, as Preethi was saying, there's a lot of game theory around not wanting to let people sort of casually exercise such a veto vote. That should be a really important thing that is very conservative in the exercise of it. One thing that I'm struck by, though, is that most of the major consensus algorithms that we have, they have the voting thing, but they don't have any mechanism by which somebody could veto, because it's entirely built on this distributed thing. And I think that's one of the areas that we need to fix if we're going to make consensus work. Just for the audience's sake, proof of work is make it computationally hard to cheat. And proof of stake is make it financially not beneficial to cheat. There are different ways of looking at the world. They come with different pros and cons. But I think myself and many others are saying neither one of those is a perfect answer yet. It's, as Preethi said, a very open area that needs a lot more thought.
Wow. I could just imagine all the ways smart people could cheat. Let me see. So what about this whole idea that I think blockchains feel just sort of complex and over-engineered? I'm sure all of you guys sort of hear this comment often, which kind of scares people away. Is there any bits of advice or maybe like false?
I wouldn't say they're over-engineered. They follow a particular protocol with a particular purpose. I think the fallacy in thinking that way is that blockchain should be, it's like people think of blockchain as something that you should use for everything, and it's not meant to be used for everything. There's particular applications for blockchain, and for those applications, it's certainly not over-engineered, because when you're dealing with people's money or people's security or people's privacy, I think you need to over-engineer things. And the reason some people fall into that over-engineered category is because they're trying to move things that shouldn't exist on the blockchain to the blockchain. So, and that's when you run into issues like it doesn't scale. That's probably the biggest reason people think the blockchain is over-engineered, because if you're trying to run a regular application like a Facebook or a Twitter or like any applications on the blockchain, that's just not going to scale. That's not what the blockchain was meant for. I think of blockchain as like an application where I think like a lot, you can still build those kinds of application on the blockchain, but it's not all going to be on the blockchain. I would say that kind of stuff exists in layer two, and layer one just serves as like the permanent settlement layer. And you can build all types of technology in layer two using these primitives, but everything shouldn't exist on the blockchain. I think the blockchain is perfectly engineered for what it was meant for. That's my kind of take on it.
Any other thoughts around that?
I'd agree. I mean, it's no more over-engineered than, say, a database is for handling queries at, you know, very fast rates. The blockchain is designed to solve a different problem. And if your application matches that problem domain, then it's a great solution. But if it doesn't, you're going to find all kinds of issues with it. So,
yeah. Fred, Ripple is one of the currencies I'm familiar with. I know that they're trying to do things differently, right? Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm still getting up to speed on the whole that we have a very different consensus model that actually relies on trust. So as a node in the network, you have to actually choose which other nodes you choose to trust. This ends up being more limiting. You can't have it's not a completely trustless network like Bitcoin or Ethereum, but because of that, you don't need to add the computation as a blocking function of cheating. So that's a different way of dealing with that. So this lets you have a much faster network at the cost of, you know, not having the completely trustless. It's not even really a design goal at that point. It's a specific trade-off that's made for speed. One thing that I'm really interested about in the space is just, you know, it's this very new technology, but there's all parts of how it's being used. And a lot of that is, you know, I remember the early, what was it called? It was like a gambling token, basically. And they were trying, and there was a group that was trying to, it was one of the early ICOs, and they were trying to build a, basically like a casino on the blockchain. So their first thing was just a coin flip, put money on it. You know, that it was more of the kind of shadier side of what should and shouldn't be possible. But I remember going to this and wanting to check it out and see how it worked. And the website was just this like very black and neon green. It felt like an old school kind of, you know, 90s hacker nostalgia vibe. And just thinking like, wow, for this even to become more customer facing, more, you know, just, you know, to break out of the hardcore or engineering or people who are really interested space, it's going to have to become a lot more consumer friendly. Even if it's not a consumer focused application, it's even for, you know, for companies to adopt this, for some sort of B2B, needs to be more approachable. So I think even outside of the consensus, not even saying that it's over-engineered, but more that it's just, it's a very specific technology, and the application is going to have a lot of different, it's going to touch a lot of different things. Presenting that is as much a front-end concern as it is a back-end one.
Kyle, I know you are building your own blockchain as a side project. Are you planning on I don't know if you can talk about it, but are you planning on maybe solving some of these problems? And is this why you're doing it?
I started it as a project because upon researching what existed, the existing systems that I could build upon could serve as inspiration, but not as actual foundation. Meaning what I wanted to do was not something that I could just simply ship on Ethereum or just simply ship on top of Bitcoin. And that realization in and of itself is kind of terrifying because there are so many things then that you are going to have to go invent once you decide, okay, I'm going to do my own kind of primitive layer. If anybody has Googled how to do a blockchain in JavaScript, you certainly come up with like the first hit is like this blog post or this video where you can do it in like under 200 lines of JavaScript. And that seems incredibly enticing, especially to someone like me who's a JavaScript developer. Oh, okay, cool. I just do these couple hundred lines and then I'm good. And, my project right now, I'm maybe 75%-ish to where I would want, you know, minimum viable that I can release and ship. And I've already written probably 15,000 lines of code because it turns out that to create a data structure that's like a blockchain with linked hashes and, you know, even signatures and stuff like that, that's really easy. What's super, super hard and takes a lot of code and a lot of thinking is all the protocol between nodes to keep them in sync with each other, the implementing some sort of sane consensus algorithm, all of that stuff. That gets really hard really quick. It's essentially, if you've heard of the notion of eventual consistency, where things eventually kind of settle out, I think basically blockchain is never consistency. Nothing ever settles down. And potentially as much as 49% of the network thinks that the truth is entirely different from what this 51% thinks. And so that creates a very significant engineering challenge. And I think when people dig into that, they can like, oh, you know, I'm scared. But the message that I'd like to get out is the reason I'm building it is because I am convinced that 100% of this can be solved with just JavaScript. It does not actually take having to go get a significant amount of knowledge in C++ or Go or some other kind of more sophisticated or Haskell or something. It's not that those languages are bad and there's some great implementations built on them. But one of the things that I think is most exciting is that I was able to spin up JavaScript, write some code inside of Node.js, and have kind of a working thing where bits of information were transferring with very little code, comparatively speaking. That to me is exciting. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why JavaScript developers should get excited, because there's this whole new world of possibility and you don't actually have to go learn an entirely different way of thinking. It is different, but it's not like having to go learn a new language from scratch. That is why I'm excited about it, and it's why I'm building my own and also trying to create curriculum to help other people get into it. So like with Hatch, our goal is basically to take a web developer, maybe that just graduated from a traditional boot camp, one of the 12-week programs or something. You're the ideal candidate to just take those skills and apply them to learning crypto. And I'm super excited to see how we can layer on blockchain knowledge on top of that skill set and create a whole new generation of developers. It's very cool. And so that perception of it being this very complex thing, yeah, if you need to roll your own from scratch, it is complex. But building applications and building stuff on top of it, it's not actually that hard.
I love that you just called amps traditional. cool. Well, there is just so much to learn, I think, in this blockchain world. I mean, so many different perspectives. I'm definitely looking for that boilerplate. You know, now I'm excited. And I'm definitely looking for that boilerplate, like, all right, you know, what's the framework I can use to get this thing going, you know, to create my own. What are some of the technologies that we should maybe be watching out for right now? And maybe some of the cool initiatives happening. I'm sure there are a billion, so.
From a JavaScript developer's perspective, I think Web3.js is a good starting point because it really allows you to create some fairly sophisticated JavaScript applications that interact with the blockchain. That's one thing. And as I was mentioning earlier, Truffle is also a good place to start.
Yeah, Web3 plus one to that. That's a really interesting technology. Random plug for Beaker browser as well. I've looked around at that. I haven't gotten a chance to play with it, but it's a really cool idea of even going. I think it's a similar area of attack, which is, you know, making the web decentralized and talking to servers that are on this decentralized network. So I've been really interested in that, watching from afar as well.
Preeti, were you going to make a suggestion?
In terms of what's exciting for me in the space is the amount of infrastructure that is getting built. And I think you'll start to actually see. So for example, for my application, True Story, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot that can happen in the layer two when you're building an application on the blockchain. And so things like sidechains for Ethereum are an area that I'm actively interested in and going to be building on. And so I think you'll start to see sidechains start to become much more mature and actually be able to handle throughput like game throughput or like any kind of highly scalable application. And then of course, my platform, which basically what True Story is, it's a way for users to create stories, and stories are claims that that need to be validated to be considered true. And the validation happens in a kind of consensus way where people are voting for what's valid and what's not. And these kinds of applications, I think, will start to emerge now that the infrastructure layer is being built. It's nowhere near close to what it needs to be. And I think it'll be a continuous evolution over the next like 2, 3, 4 years. But I think you'll start to see early applications start to emerge in the next year, including something like mine. And that's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot. I also wanted to plug Interledger, which is, we have a research team here at Ripple, and they have this really cool project called Interledger, which the idea is to connect different ledgers. So that can be connecting Bitcoin to Ethereum, but it can also be connecting the PayPal ledger to the Venmo ledger. If anyone is willing to exchange across those, there can become this network of interconnected ledgers, and you can multi-hop from one to the other. So it's a really cool idea, kind of accepting that there's never going to be one blockchain for every solution out there, and nor should there be. But if we live in that world, then these ledgers need to connect with each other and talk to each other, even if that's a bank, a blockchain, or a service. So really cool stuff. Just search Interledger for that. They're doing some really cool examples with how that would look.
I think we're starting to see, as Preeti kind of met, the metaphor she used of like layer one versus layer two, I think we're really starting to see a lot of movement in that layer two space. All right, if we've laid down enough of the railroad tracks that there is a network, what can we do on top of that? What is interesting to do on top of that? In the same spirit of what Fred was just sharing, there's another one I've read about recently and started playing with, is just doc.io. Basically creating a portable way for your profile and reputation to follow you across the web through blockchain technology. So they're aiming at trying to get websites and other web services to buy into that protocol. So they're creating protocols on top of what we already know to exist so that your information can be more portable. And that stuff is just, I mean, this is like 1975, where there was barely an internet and there's so much open space. And if we now know 30 or 40 years later how much is created, think how much more will be created on top of what we are talking about today. It will seem so rudimentary to be talking about proof of work or what's the right hashing algorithm, whatever, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. This space is just going to so rapidly expand. But a metaphor that my friend, I have a friend who's a chief operating officer for a blockchain-enabled lending company called Unchained Capital. And he was telling me about, you know, in those early days of the 2000, right before the dot-com bust and then the dot-com bust, the web was still being figured out at that time. And people were creating all kinds of stuff. And in the same period of time, we saw pets.com and amazon.com in their original incantations. And we can now look back with the reflection of almost two decades and say, amazon.com was a pretty great bet. And pets.com, maybe not such a great bet. but you didn't know at the time which one of those was the right thing. Both of those and the thousands of others that were created needed to be created so that we could explore the space and figure out what worked. And I think that's what's driving me to try to get more awareness around this, is we need 1,000 of these to be created, because 999 of them won't work and they'll suck and they'll fall off. But the one that's created is going to completely change the way we live our lives a decade from now.
Oh, man. Sold me on blockchain. We're not going to call it this dot media anymore. We're just going to call it this dot blockchain. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. I really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun talking about blockchain. We will have a few more episodes on the Modern Web podcast about blockchain related things, because there is so much going on in this space. So thank you so much for all our panelists. You can find them all on Twitter. You can Fred is at Fred K Schott, did I say it right? S-C-H-O-T-T on Twitter. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Getify. You can find Nick on Twitter at TechBubble, and you can find Preethi on Twitter at @IM_Preethi. Besides that, tune in for the next episode of Modern Web, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So come on, let's go, 'cause we got a show for you.